Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
All right, good evening, everybody, and welcome. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. It's the Ron Kelly Show. com. Thank you so much for joining me, everybody. 1,300 people watched that video, Ron Kelly Show video from 2 weeks ago. More than 1,300 people watched that Ron Kelly Show video. So I want to thank each and every one of you for watching and indulging me on a Thursday night. It's August 9th, 2018. You listen to the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. I believe Dr. Susanna Flores is here with us tonight. Are you with us, Dr. Sue? Hi, Dr. Sue. Hello, Dr. Sue. Where did she go?
Hello?
Okay. Hey, Dr. Sue.
Hello.
Yes, I'm here.
I'm here too.
Oh, can you hear me, Dr. Sue?
I can, yes.
Oh, great.
Can you hear me?
Oh. Yes, very loud and clear. All
okay.
Right, everybody.
Good.
Good. Great. Dr. Susanna Flores is here. Everybody, the well-known, noted clinical psychologist and author of the book that all of you are afraid to read because you're afraid it might reveal some things about yourself. It's called Face Hooked, and we're going to talk to Dr. Susanna in a few minutes. Coons in the White House. Coons in the White House. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. And, of course, why the good old days will not be back. Why the good old days won't come back. So welcome, everybody. You can go on Facebook Live, and you can check out the Ron Kelly Show right now. Shout out to Bunny McKnight, who first up as always, and shout out to everybody who's watching and listening to the program right now. Tonight, I am honored to have Dr. Susanna, clinical psychologist and author of Facebook. And there's another book about Wolverine. We'll get into that in a few minutes. But anyway, Dr. Susanna Flores is here, and we're going to talk to her about this social media phenomenon's going on right now. So first and foremost, welcome, Dr. Susanna. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, I know you've been very busy with. We'll talk about that too. The book signings and all the things that you've been doing. We'll get to that in a little bit. Let me just ask you right out of the box. Now, everything starts with an idea. So, was there something about what you saw as a clinical psychologist about what was going on with social media that inspired you to write the book?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was in private practice in Chicago when I started noticing a shift in the clinical presentation of some of my clients, anywhere from, you know, losing friends to disruptions and miscommunications in relationships, to, you know, even workplace firings because of certain postings. And, you know, so whenever I would suggest, like, hey, how about you take a social media break, you know, at least like a week or 2 weeks or something, I would get the deer in the headlights look, you know, of, you know, are you crazy? You know, I can't give that up. And that's when I realized that this is becoming a very serious thing. And it was going to continue to be a very serious thing in the field of psychology and psychiatry. And sure enough, you know, it has become something that most people in my profession deal with on sometimes a daily basis.
Okay, so you're practicing in Chicago, very free frosty.
At the time, you were
practicing in Chicago. So your patients were actually coming in with this issue with social media.
Yeah, and most of it had to do with either an addiction, you know, digital fights, and we still see that happening now, miscommunications or people just flat out trying to hurt each other. And because of the public forum, whatever they posted, it was by far more damaging than anything that would happen on a, like, let's say, a face-to-face argument. So even, like, careers were being destroyed, relationships were being destroyed. And then a couple of times I had to hospitalize people, not because of Facebook itself, obviously, but because of some interactions that were so extreme and so hurtful in nature, that, you know, people just could not handle or had difficulty coping with the, you know, incredible level of anxiety or embarrassment, or and sometimes it led to depression and even suicidal thoughts.
Wow, that is absolutely fascinating. That is fascinating. So you mentioned addiction earlier, Dr. Sue. Shout out to Lamont Gates, who says you're his favorite.
Okay.
Lamont Gates, she's my favorite. So yeah, because Lamont Gates was a big fan of the show when we were doing our show a couple years back. Yeah, Lamont Gates. So shout out to Lamont Gates. You know, if you need to talk to Dr. Sue, we'll give you her information. If your face hooked, maybe we can give you her information. But anyway, so clients were coming in, and they were, and so instead of somebody coming in and talking about the family member or a marriage problem, they were actually coming in and talking about social media. So now let's would you say, Dr. Susanna, that there might, you mentioned addiction earlier, and did you find that to be the case in some cases with some of the people that came into your office?
Yeah, actually, like, there's even science behind that. You know, like, every time we get a comment or a like, anything, especially like the push notifications on our phones, we get dopamine hits to the same areas of the brain that are stimulated with food and sex. So it's becoming kind of like a digital cocaine, so to speak. And whenever people would accidentally, let's say, leave their mobile device at home, you experience like this fear of missing out, which leads to anxiety. Like, some people will drive off and will return to their house, right, just to get the phone, because they have to be wired in. You have to be digitally connected at all times. And so, you know, in my book Facehooked, I talk about, you know, how, you know, in previous times, like, the mindset of society was like, you know, I think, therefore I am. And in today's world, it's I'm connected, therefore I am. So, like, your persona on digital platforms for many people is often either as important or, if not more important, than their offline reality. And that's where, you know, these things get dangerous. Now, there's many benefits to social media. I'm a huge fan myself. But just like with anything else, you need to be balanced. But in today's connectivity, you know, or connected world, many times, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of them, like, it's the first thing you check in the morning, the last thing you check at night. You have to always have your smartphone within arm's reach. If you are at a gathering at dinner, you notice almost everybody has their phone near them or on them or, you know, in their hand. And so, you know, we are being programmed systematically to think of digital expressions as perhaps even more real than offline reality.
Well, everyone,
which
if you're
led
not in
to a lot of the chaos that we're experiencing right now.
Okay, just a program note, everybody, in case you don't know, I'm talking to a clinical psychologist, TEDx speaker, author, social media commentator, and keynote speaker, Dr. Susanna Flores, who I like to call Dr. Susanna. You gotta give respect to this woman. You know, she's got a doctorate, and she didn't get it from Trump University. She got it from she got it from a real school. You gotta give this lady respect. But now, do you think, Dr. Sue, that social media tapped into the secret? Because, you know, we know people want to be rich and they want to be famous and they want to be X amount of things. But relevance is something that people really don't talk about. So you think that Facebook and social media tapped into the secret desire of everyone to be relevant?
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of validation seeking. And, you know, I mean, it's very different than, you know, wanting to be important or, like, you know, wanting the support of friends or you know, being validated by people. Like, that's different. That's what we all do. This is a matter of wanting to be relevant to people that you've never even met, you know, and people that are receiving information from your inner world. Very different than, let's say, you know, being an entertainer. Of course, you have fans that you never met, but, you know, many times, you know, one's self-worth is based on certain comments that people will post to your beliefs or so, you know, like, so although digital expressions have given, or, you know, are very powerful and have given voice to people that have otherwise not had a voice, just with everything else, with power comes responsibility, and a lot of people have abused that power and have continued to abuse that power, mostly because of the way that the platforms are designed. So, for example, you know, Twitter, you get 40 characters, right? And so, you know, with certain, let's say, very high up political offices, you know, for example, you know, there are certain messages that should not be conveyed in 40 messages or less, and we are being inundated with multiple messages from multiple people at multiple times during the day, and the human brain is only designed to absorb so much. So what's happening is that, you know, we are making a lot of assumptions based on just like a title or a headline or whatever, and we don't have the capacity to read everything, and so we're just looking at the tweets. And then we start battling with each other because we're making assessments based on that. So ultimately, like when it comes to really important discussions, you know, this is the worst kind of communication. When it comes to very, very important discussions that should be made either in person or through longer speeches so that people really fully, you know, get the meaning. But, you know, just like, you know, so all of this, you know, it's not to say it's not the platforms, but the design of the platforms have either brought out the best or the worst in people.
Well, everyone, this is I'm speaking to Dr. Clinical Psychologist Dr. Susanna Flores, who's the author of Face Hooked, and her second book is called Untamed: The Psychology of Marvel's Wolverine, and she has been touring and going to Comic-Con and all over the place with that. But Dr. Sue, now, you know, do you find that people get too personal with Facebook? One of the things I've noticed, and I kind of laugh at it, Dr. Sue, is that people never say, like, when something goes wrong, like, oh, I got fired, or I caught my kid with a girl in the house, or, you know, you never hear nothing bad, but every time something good happens, it's all over.
Yeah, sometimes you do hear the bad, you know, especially sometimes almost like TMI, too much information, right? So sometimes, yeah, you certainly do get that, but most of the time what happens is, like, people will post the pics, for example, of, like, the New Year's Eve party, but they won't post the pics of the hangover the next day, right? And so people are making assumptions like, okay, well, this guy's life is just amazing, you know, and you know, on a psychological level, you know, we compare ourselves to other people, right? But the difference is that when we compare to other people, when we compare ourselves to other people digitally, what we're doing is we're making the assessment based on the illusion of the world that they just created. So, like, you know, again, there are studies that show that, you know, our egos are taking a hit, not just from viewing other people's posts, which is leading to some level of depression, but ironically enough, even comparing ourselves to our own posts. So, for example, if I post a picture of myself where I'm like 10 years younger and, I don't know, 5 pounds lighter, whatever, and everything that I say that I'm doing, in my reality, I'm not living up to that standard. And so I feel bad about myself. So it's a fake world, but a lot of people just feel that they can't stop because they have fans or followers, and or they're using it as a form of escape from reality.
Shout out to Bunny McKnight. Shout out to Lamont Gates, Gil Miso Jr., my buddy from JR. And Lamont Gates had a question, Dr. Susanna, I'd like to pose to you. He wants to know if your research was mostly qualitative for the book. Facebook.
Yes.
Facebook.
Yes. It was 3 years worth of interviews. And so I started posting questions on Facebook, and I did individual interviews. I started by holding out a sign outside my office in downtown Chicago, talk to me about social media. And I was surprised. Like, some people looked at me like I was nuts, and other people came up to me and they started talking about the good, the bad, the ugly. And then once I opened up the questions to the Facebook audience itself, I started getting messages from people all around the world on how either Facebook has helped them in many ways or has ruined certain things in their life. So yes, qualitative, so, most in nature, yeah.
Okay, Lamont, he says excellent. So mm-hmm. where are we today, Dr. Sue? Now, the book's been out. Everybody, you can get it on Amazon. And anywhere where they sell books, you can get the book on Amazon as well. For all you folks who can't pull away from your computer, you just go on Amazon and you can find Face Hook there on Amazon. So where do you think we are today, Dr. Sue? Because the book's been out for a little while, and has things melted down? Has it got even worse than they were when you first wrote the book?
Absolutely. The book was published a couple years ago, and I got to tell you, Ron, if I could do it over, I would have waited until this year to publish it. Because honestly, what has happened, I get this question a lot, right? Like, how is what's happening, especially in the political arena? And I'm guessing we could probably talk a little bit about that. I'm hoping to. Is what's happening now is my worst fear realized. And I'm not exaggerating or blowing that out of proportion. When I see what is happening, the polarization of America, and yes, I do, you know, for some part, blame social media as a contributor to it. Not solely, but partially. This is the stuff that I feared about. You know, the other day I found one of my old presentations of my PowerPoint from, I think it was like 2014, and I found a slide that threw out the hypothetical. What would happen if very important people, right, like high ups in government, started to use social media the way that regular people use it? And at the time during my speech, I said, well, this will never happen. But, because, you know, I just didn't picture, let's say, Obama using it this way, right? And I said, well, this will never happen because that's too important. But imagine the chaos that would ensue if the President of the United States started abusing social media and did cyberbullying and attacked people on social media. And so to answer your question, you know, it's something that I didn't even imagine would really be possible, you know, because I just thought on some level, it's my naivete there, that someone in political offices of that stature would know better. And I was wrong. And so this is my worst nightmare realized.
Yeah, let's talk about the president for a second, our tweeter-in-chief and everything else.
Yeah, it's a good title. Yeah.
Yeah, but I know you can't, you know, you can't give a good assessment of him because he's not in front of you. And I do understand that mm-hmm. Body language and facial expressions, all of that stuff matters in your in your assessment. So just from just as an observer, what do you see in the president?
Well, you know, the way that I, you know, like you're right, I can't offer a diagnosis because we're not allowed to do that, right? But what I say is that he presents with many signs of someone or symptoms of someone who is erratic, who has a very fragile ego. You could probably make your own assessments from my words, right? Who is very reactive and sensitive and impulsive. And, you know, so all of those factors together with a lot of power create for a lot of havoc and a lot of anxiety in individuals. I remember a post, you know, I was thinking, you know, I'm going to take a break from Twitter because this is too much, right? And then so I gave it like a few hours, right? And then the next time I logged on, I saw one of his posts where it said, like, you know, John McCain is going to start World War III or something. And I just thought to myself, like, you can't say things like World War III on Twitter. You just can't, you know, not when you're the president, you know. And I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. I was mostly crying, you know, because I knew that it was just he's baiting people. You know, he wants to get a reaction, and he's using it as a distraction tool. I don't think you need to be a psychologist to know that. You know, most people know that. It's the ultimate gaslighting tool. You know, like, I'm going to say something, and, you know, people are going to follow it because I say it so definitively. And he is a master at social media. And I know some people cringe at me giving him that compliment, but he is good at social media. I do believe his use of Twitter. I agree with that statement he made, that Twitter helped get him elected. I agree. And now for other reasons, obviously, that we have learned about in recent news. You know, he is very good at, and he has a style of tweets Some people don't think they're sophisticated, and for the most part, they're not. But he has a system that works for him, in that he does this patronizing thing towards his enemies, and then he uses exclamation points or caps to instill the fear, and then he says "sad" at the end, which gives him the allure of domination, like "I know better." And he does it so systemically well that people are convinced, some people are convinced that what he says is absolutely true. And the worst part, of course, is when he says, like, you know, everything that, or anyone who contradicts anything that I say, that's fake. And that's very, of course, very dangerous on many levels. So, yeah, that's, you know, my assessment of him, and like long-winded assessment there, but not, if I could just say it, like, you know, not the most stable way of reacting or of expressing information.
No, President Trump has brought that out in all of us. You know, anytime I talk about him, it's easy to go overboard on him because he gives you so much ammunition to do it. Shout out to Joe DeFranco. Shout out to Joe DeFranco, who's an ardent Trump supporter. And shout out to my good friend from back in the day, my sister, Sharon Allen Chambers, who just got back from down south. Welcome back, and glad you're okay. So, Dr. Sue, you, I was on your page, and my profile pic, you know, and I found that to be so interesting because just how many, I mean, I know you can't quantify how many people, but how much of an issue is that where people just are really not who they present themselves to be on social media?
I think, you know, you're right. I don't have an exact number, but I think on some level we all edit, like 100% all edit ourselves. And people that push back on that, you know, like, no, I don't edit. I'm like, yeah, you do. And here's how you edit. Like, you start typing, right? And then you press delete, 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 and then you redo it. And what we're basically doing is very different than one-to-one conversation. We don't have that luxury, right? But what we're doing is we are trying to shape ourselves and our expression in a way that we believe will get us more likes. That's what's really, you know, to get us those dopamine hits that we love. That's what's really happening. So I think all of us on some level edit who we are on social media. And it is changing our behavior. When I wrote the book again a few years back, I believe there was a number of like 71 people stalked their exes on social media. Since that time, that number has increased, I believe, to 88% of people stalk their exes on some, at least once, on social media. You know, and that tells you something, right? Like even the connection to people that are not positive for us, or I'm assuming not positive, or even just people from the past, et cetera, you know, like that's something that we would traditionally not do, but because of the power and the accessibility, we do it. And same thing, we would not be fighting with so many people because lack of accessibility, but with social media, they're right in our face, so to speak, on a metaphorical and almost literal level. And so, you know, like someone says something to bait the other side, whichever, you know, I think both sides are guilty of it. And there comes the battles, and that we are all probably, we have all experienced on some level.
Everyone who's out, those of you who, there are people who listen to the Ron Kelly Show out west, and Dr. Flores will be co-paneling with comic book legend Roy Thomas at Terrificon to discuss her latest book. It's called Untamed, The Psychology of Marvel's Wolverine. And that could be a whole show right there because, you know, that had to be really tough to even get a grasp of what this man was thinking based on watching the movies and all. So anybody who's out in the out west, Dr. Susanna Flores will co-panel with his comic book legend Roy Thomas at Terrificon to discuss her latest book. It's called Untamed: The Psychology of Marvel's Wolverine. And if you pick up a copy of Faith Hooked, which many of you need to do, don't hate. Many of you need to do. You know, Ron, yours truly is on the book flap, so you know.
Yes.
You know, you can And Rob, yours truly, Ron Kelly, the Ron Kelly Show, is on the book flap of Facehook. So make sure you pick up a copy of Facehook, everybody, because it's something that even if you don't think you need it, and I'm you know, kind of joking around, kind of seriously about some of you, because I'm not going to hold you much longer, Dr. Susanna, but, you know, how much is too much? People were talking about addiction and, you know, all kinds of stuff on Facebook and some things mm-hmm. that I wouldn't dare put out there. You know, how much is too much when it comes to social media?
I think, you know, I have this thing where I ask people, like, you know, to listen, obviously, to their mind, but also to listen to the body. If they begin to notice that they're feeling anxious or depressed, you know, despite even feeling very fully addicted to it, you know, it is time to take a break. And a clear sign of addiction, you know, when it comes to social media is if you can't even take a weekend break, like just, you know, 48 hours and you try and you can't, like, stop checking it. You may be addicted, and in this time of stress, of global stress, I tell all my current clients, regardless of whichever side you're on, and I don't need to know that in my sessions, right? if you're right or left, I don't care, right? It's a matter of self-care, and because it's all bad right now, you know, it's a lot of negative messages right now, a lot of anger, a lot of stress, a lot of fear, and I just ask people, you know, to try. This is a remedy. Try to take a break from it when you can. Like even if it's 24 hours, I'm going to turn off push notifications. I'm just going to take a break for my own mental sanity, and also, you know, like to decrease the polarization. No matter how much it may stress someone out, it is important to check the news from the other side. Like, we have to start having these conversations so that we understand each other. Even if it seems impossible, it's not impossible. We can, because we have to try to understand, you know, how it is that other people have formed their assessment of the situation, so that we can start to get unified on some level again, you know, or at least where we were. And I heard a segment where you said we're not going to go back, and I agree to that on some level, you know, but if we're going to start turning it around a little bit, it has to begin with real communication, face-to-face communication, you know, when we turn off our devices and we just begin to talk to one another again.
Do you think that this will be the next 12-step program?
I think so, yes. You know, there isn't an exact diagnosis for social media addiction yet. There's stuff that's close, but I predict that it will soon be there. You know, that this is going to be a 12-step program for people to detox, because statistically also, according to some research, that, you know, people are showing withdrawal symptoms, like actual physical withdrawal symptoms, when they are too addicted to social media and they don't have their smartphone anywhere near them. Like, they become hypervigilant, they become jumpy, they can't stop thinking about their phone that they don't have near them. They don't sleep well, you know. It's just, it is a thing. You know, it affects their personality as well. They become more irritable. So, yes, I do believe it one day will become a 12-step as well.
Wow, that is so scary. That's like the worst parts of George Orwell's 1984. You know, the worst book was written 50-plus years ago. And
yeah,
and it speaks to today like as if, you know, he had a crystal ball or something. That's how close.
No doubt. Yeah, okay. I 100% agree with that. It's like, you know, the Big Brother, you know, it's like, again, I'm blanking on his name right now. The founder of WikiLeaks. Who is that, Ron? Who am I thinking of? What's his name? Julian Assange, right? Assange. He once called Facebook the worst spying machine ever created. And he was right. He was
absolutely
right. You know, corporations and government, obviously, hello, you know, with again, the news that's going on, you know, they you know, even corporations, they love the Facebook consumers, right? They love all of the data that they are getting from us. And we don't care that people are spying on us as long as we continue to perform for our audience. And so in the book, I talk about, like, our friends are no longer our friends. Our friends are our audience. And my book is not Facebook. It's not a get off of social media book. It's more about, like, let's just be aware of what's happening so that we can make different choices and continue to enjoy our digital expressions, but second only to our offline reality.
Right. It's exactly. It's called Facebook. And the subtitle is How Facebook Affects Our Emotions, Relationships, and Lives. Now, the Kindle edition is only $6.95. So if you want to, if you got an issue with money, you can get the Kindle version for $6.95. The hardcover, I believe, is $24.95, and the paperback is $15.95. It's a very good reading. Of course, I keep it on my desk because who knows? I may need some therapy at some point. But really, I'm really on Facebook in all of this because of my radio show. Otherwise, I don't find too many things interesting. People say fake news and all kinds of stuff. I find it kind of boring. But anyway, in any case, she's Dr. Susanna Flores, clinical psychologist, keynote speaker, and author of Facehooked. And her latest book is called Untamed, The Psychology of Marvel's Wolverine. You may want to pick that up. You can buy it at Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com as well. Dr. Sue, I held you 10 minutes more than I promised I would. It's been a pleasure.
Okay. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
It's a pleasure. And say hello to everybody and the two dogs and pet them on the head for me.
Yeah.
And see a lot of them. See a lot of them on Facebook. Are they Facebook too? I think we are a little bit. I mean, I'm going to push for, it's probably not going to be successful, but I'm going to push for a one day, you know how to get Great American Smokeout. I think it's November 7th or 8th where you don't smoke for one day. But we're going to see if we can get people to stop on Facebook for one day. I doubt highly.
That would be great.
Yeah, I think we're going to push for that. We're going to have you back. We're going to push for that. All right, Dr. Sue, thank you so much. Everybody, it's Facehooked, How Facebook Affects Our Emotions, Relationships, and Our Lives. She's Dr. Susanna Flores. Dr. Sue, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Ron. All right, you have a good evening.
Thank you. Talk to you soon. Thanks.
All right,
everybody. That was Dr. Susanna Flores. Facehooked, How Facebook Affects Our Emotions, Relationships, and Our Lives. Now, I had to get Dr. Susanna on the show first because I'm about to let it fly with these cooning preachers who went up in the White House. Oh, my God. Oh, I could not believe it. When I come back, I'm going to let it fly on these cooning preachers who went up in the White House and praised this devil. We'll be right back with more of the program. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. It's the Ron Kelly Show.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Oh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God, Becky... Becky, are you okay? My arm. I think it's broken. Can you bend it? It's already bent. In the wrong direction. I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Oh, yes, indeed. It's the Ron Kelly Show. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining me. Lamont Gates, Joe DeFranco, Shannon Allen Chambers, Gil Maestro Jr., and all of you, Bunny McKnight, all of you who have tuned in to me every Thursday night at 7 o'clock. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. Now, these cooning, I could not believe my eyes. I'm watching these pastors, these black pastors, cooning for President Trump. And so, and they're sitting there, and they had the nerve to say, the colossal gall to say that President Trump has probably helped black people even more than any other president ever. You see, you can always find some black people to flip on their race. You can always find some black people to flip on their race. It's throughout the history, throughout history, there was always a black person that you can scoop up that will turn on his own kind. Now, they sit at the table with this man. And President Trump is probably sitting there like, you know, I haven't done a damn thing for these Negroes since I've been in office. And these idiots are sitting up here praising me. You see, this is why, you know, this is why we don't get any respect. That's why black folks don't get any respect. Because you can't get the Jews to turn on each other. You can't get the Puerto Ricans, the Dominicans, the Peruvians, the Asians. You can't get them to turn on each other. White people, of course. You can't get them to turn on each other, at least not publicly. The white people that hated Obama didn't, you know, they didn't go up in the Oval Office and chit-chat with him and have a conversation. But you can always find a black person, always, throughout history of this world, there was always a black person that you can find to turn on his race. Now, these black pastors sat up in front of this man and praised him, praised Mr. Trump, said he was the best thing that black people, you know, he was the best. They said he was the best president in regards to black folks ever. Thank you to Dr. Susana Flores for coming on the program. Face hooked. Make sure you get one copy or two. And 100 pastors. Now, here's another 100 pastors, 100 black pastors meet with Trump. This is leading up to the election. So if you Google black past pastors, you'll find a whole bunch of stories about black folks who have turned on each other and endorsed this man, Trump, who has no interest in the black experience or the black community in America. Has no interest, none. But these cooning ministers want to get in front of the cameras and extol the virtues of this man who has no interest. Was invited to the NAACP convention 2017? No thanks. I don't think so. But did he go to the NRA convention? He sure did. Did he go to the conservatives convention? He sure did. 2018 rolls around. Mr. Trump, President Trump, would you mind, you know, giving a speech at the NAACP? Second time, no thank you. No, I don't want to be around you in words. No thank you. So we have these 100 ministers, not 100 ministers, but a gaggle, if you will, of ministers. You see, if you're going to sell yourself, don't sell yourself cheap. Don't be a cheap hoe. Don't be a cheap hoe. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to sell yourself like these ministers did, don't do it on the cheap. Don't be a cheap hoe. Be a call girl. You know what I'm saying? Try to get something. They sold themselves cheap. They're going to get absolutely nothing. They sold themselves cheap. Be a call girl. Don't stand on the corner. You know. Or call boy, whatever the case may be. Don't stand on the corner. You know, to have some dignity. And see, what these men did, they left their dignity at the door when they walked in to that briefing room, White House conference room, and exalted the virtues of this man who has no interest in the black community. No. Like I said, you can always find a black person. Always. Who will turn on their race? You can always find one. Can you find an Asian? No. Jew? No. A Muslim? No. But you can always, at least not publicly, but you can always find a black person who's going to go out there and stick it to their own race. See, this is why we don't get no respect. See, this is what white folks see. Look at these Negroes sitting up here. And they all know that Trump doesn't give a damn about black people. No, Trump can care less about black folks. Look what happened to the young man who stopped the shooting at the Waffle House. Did he invite him to the White House? No. Did he even say anything? No. He said nothing. The young man who stopped, the young 24-year-old man who stopped this sick white individual from killing more people than what he did. Man comes in with a coat on and that's it. It's time to run. Or hit him in the head with a frying pan. And this young man took the gun from him. Did Mr. Trump say anything? Thanks? No, not a word. So he has no interest in black folks. So you black ministers, at least get a donation to get a wing put on your church. You know, get a new church van. So get something out of it. Don't just go and sell yourself for nothing, is what you did the other day. Because black folks, when they give themselves away for cheap, for nothing. Get something out of it. Don't just sell yourself and not get nothing. But you look at the black politicians who get caught with their hands in the cooking jar. Look at the head of the Corrections Officers Union, Norman Seabrook, in New York, for example, directed $20 million of union money. $20 million. Now, he's not a politician, he's just an African American, like these pastors were. Directed $20 million of union money into this hedge fund and got a paltry $60,000 in a Ferragamo bag. $20 million, $19 million of which was lost. So you shifted $20 million of the union's money into this hedge fund where the filthy white man stole $19 million. That's what Star and Buck Wild still got. Much respect for that man, even though he's not on the radio anymore. Yeah. So you spent $19 million, you gave somebody $19 million, out of $20 million, $19 million was lost. You know what that means? That they kept the money. And you got $60,000. See, this is how black folks, don't play yourself cheap. Don't play yourself cheap. Get something for whatever it is that you do for somebody else. If you're going to stick it to your own race, at least get paid for it. Oh, man. It's 7:43 and I'm like melting on these hot lights and they still don't work. It's 7:43, 17 minutes before the hour. You're listening to the Ron Kelly Show and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show .com. And so you have these coons who are sitting up here exalting the virtues of this man who gives less than a damn about white folks. Shout out to Tuffy Ali. And shout out to Lamont Gates, who says two theories of why. One, these pastors are conservatives and assume that since Trump ran as a Republican, that he must be also religiously conservative. And two, he's lining their pockets without the plate being passed around, which I happen to agree, Lamont Gates, that the second line their pockets. I hope so. Because these pastors are catching it. Only 13% of black folks approve of Mr. Trump today, August 9th, 2018. So these pastors are catching it from all sides, all over the country. They're catching it for meeting with this man and going on national television and saying he's the best president for black folks that we've ever had, which is absolute nonsense. The man hates black. Well, I wouldn't say he hates black people, but he has no interest. He has no interest in this. None. No interest. So it's a quick break, everybody. We'll come right back. And, you know, I want to talk about I want to talk about the good old days. Why can't we go back to the good old days? Because we can. We'll take a break. We'll come right back with more of the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC.
So coming to the stage is a really funny guy. Y'all know him. Put your hands together. Give it up for George Wilborn.
Folks, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle calls. Speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He calls everybody under the sun. Aunt Peyton, his old army buddy George. He even called my daughter Tierra, because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love have symptoms of stroke, don't call family. Don't dial a friend. Don't wait. It may be too late. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now. Out. He's fired. He's fired!
Otto Warmbier has just passed away. He spent a year and a half in North Korea. A lot of bad things happened.
Did you hear what he said about, you know, football seasons back? That was a piece of Mr. Trump at one of his rallies saying, get that son of a bitch off the field, referring to black players who kneel, who are kneeling in protest of the African-Americans who are not armed and who are being slaughtered by the police. Shout out to Aaron. Shout out to Aaron Maester. What's up? What's up, Sonny? He's son of a bitch. Get that son of a bitch off the field. He's fired. This is what Mr. Trump said initially when, during the heat of the kneeling movement, he said, get him off the field. Get that son of a bitch off the field. Fire. This is what he thinks about black folks. You see what I'm saying? So this adds to the outrage, and you can understand why people are outraged that these African-American pastors went into the White House and virtually just kissed the president's behind. I said, this is why black folks don't get no respect, because they don't stand for anything. So this is why. This is why we don't get no respect. This is why, because people see that we can be bought, that our allegiance can be bought. And yeah, everybody has a price, but ours is lower than most people. I doubt they got $1,000 a piece. If they did get money, as Lamont Gates alluded to earlier, I doubt if they got $1,000 a piece. So yeah, everybody has a price. Mine is real high. You know, y'all turn on y'all for the right price. Let me stop. Some of y'all start believing that, and I'll be seeing you on social media tomorrow. That I said that I'm a sellout, which I'm definitely not. Those of you who know me know that I'm not a sellout. So anyway, thank you to Dr. Susana Flores, who is the author of Face Hooked, How Facebook Affects Our Emotions, Relationships, and Our Lives. Available on Kindle, it's $6.95. On hardcover, it's $24.95. And on paperback, it's $15.95. The number of Facebook users worldwide exceeded 1 billion in August of 2012. With the increase of, psychologists have seen an alarming increase in the number of Facebook-related complaints from their clients. You see, and Dr. Susana Flores was getting, she was treating folks in Chicago, where she's from, and her clients were coming into her office, and it's not about the wife, or I'm having an affair, or job is killing me or the kids are driving me crazy. No, this is about Facebook. And many friendships have been lost. And some people, a lot of people have been found. But, you know, some people have, some friendships have been lost, especially over this political nonsense with Trump and Hillary, the heat of that moment where folks were saying, don't come to the turkey table. Don't come over, you come over for Thanksgiving, don't talk about politics, period. Because it tears families apart. So, the good old days, before we get out of here, about 7 minutes left to the program. Thanks everybody for watching and listening. So the good old days, why can't we go back to the good old days when people used to look out for each other and, you know, everybody was your mother and, you know, and you hear people talk about that on black radio. We need to go back. For what? We need to go back. We need to go back to the good old days when, you know, when everybody was your mother and when you saw somebody else's mother, you straightened yourself up because you knew that her mother was going to tell their mother was going to tell your mother, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You see, now, we didn't have Facebook and we didn't have cell phones back then. You know, I mean, they were just starting to make them when I was a little kid. So, it was hard. It wasn't like you could just pick up the phone or take a picture of somebody doing something wrong and send it like you can do today's world. You know, back then, it was hard to find people. You know, it was hard because you didn't have instant access. Send a text message. Shout out to some of my text friends out there who I only text, never see. Anyway, whatever. So, so back then we didn't have all the stuff that we have today. So it was hard to find people. And, you know, you hear folks going on black radio, especially when you talk about what's going on, what's wrong with the black community. Oh, we need to go back. We need to go back to back in the day. Well, you know what? You can't. You can't go back to back in the day because that was then and this is now. You know, this is 2018 America, not 1974 America. There's a whole new ball game now. We're always talking about going backwards. We need to start going forward. Start making a new plan. Because we're never going to go back. You're never going to go back. I'm not going to go back to being 16. Now, unless they come up with something in the next few years, I can forget it. I mean, you can't go back. People are always talking about, we need to get back to. You can't. Things are more expensive now. The world moves faster now. You know, we got social media blowing up all over the place. There's a lot going on now that wasn't going on back in the 70s and 80s. So we can't go back. You have to move forward with a new plan. And this is what our folks are still talking about, the same old stuff from back in the day. Our folks are, you know, you hear them on black radio, black talk radio. They don't call here because they know better. They're on black talk radio, talking this nonsense. And we need to go back. Back where? Back where? We need to go back to back in the day. It's not going to happen. You can't unring the bell. It's not going to happen. You can't go back. You can't. So we got to come up with a new strategy. We got to stop with this nonsense you hear on Reverend Al Sharpton's show and some of these other people. Anytime I mention Al Sharpton to any white person, I know they say opportunists. That's the first thing they say, opportunists. They don't say the N-word. They don't say he's funny looking. Or the first thing that any white person that I know says about Reverend Al Sharpton, they say opportunist. That's the first thing they say. It's not hateful. But that's what people say about Reverend Al. I respect Reverend Al Sharpton. Sure I do. But we need some new blood in here. What has happened since Reverend Al Sharpton came on the scene with the Tawana Brawley nonsense? Not much has changed in America. And anything that changed was destined to change. You can't attribute it to any particular person. 3 minutes left to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Man, the heat has been like crazy, but I'll take it over to Cole anytime. Yeah, so you can't. So we need a new voice. We need new people. We need younger people. We need people with new ideas. Because, yeah, we're all about politics. You know what? You got to learn how to play the political game. You can't stand on the sidelines and boo. You got to learn how to play. So black folks, if you can't beat them, join them. You have to learn how to play the political game. Because it is a game. And if you don't know how to play, you're going to get burned, which is what we always do, get burned. So I tell you, my black people, learn to play the political game. Because it's not going anywhere. Politics is going to be around forever. 100 years from now, we're all dust. There'll still be Democrats and Republicans fighting. They may have a better way to fight. They may not even have to meet in the same chamber, but they'll be fighting. So we need to learn, black folks, we need to learn how to play politics. Don't stand on the sideline and, oh, I can't stand politics. So, no, this is working real well for some people, but not for us because we're not playing. We need to learn how to play effectively because it's grassroots nonsense and stuff y'all be, you know, try to run for office with this grassroots. No. See what happened in Paterson, New Jersey, for my national folks. The person who had the most backing won. The person who had the most backing, the person who knew how to play the political game better than anybody else, is the one who wins every time. So we got to learn how to play this political game. Can't keep sitting on the sidelines crying. Got to learn how to play and then learn how to win. Because the stuff we're talking about is not going to work. We need to learn how to play politics. Otherwise, we're doomed. So I'm going to break out, everybody. Thanks so much for joining me. Shout out to my folks at over JR. I'll be there shortly. Thanks, everybody, for joining me. All the people, I can't see everybody's name, but thanks so much for everybody. And thanks to the 1,300 people. Over 1,300 people watched that video from, the Ron Kelly Show from 2 weeks ago. So I thank everybody for watching. And participating in Ron Kelly's show. Either I'm going to hit the Mega Millions or somebody's going to give me a radio contract. But either way, I'll be happy. So everybody, take care of yourself. Remember, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. And if we may not have it all together, but together we can certainly have it all. Thanks so much. I am done.